Okay, today is Nun Tes. So we're at the Mishnah at the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Achuzas Hadam. If an animal had a blood disorder, I think it's more like a, sort of a high blood pressure. Of a Hama Ushenis, or if it's smoking, because it's the smoke came inside the body. I don't know if it was smoking a cigarette or some other passive smoking, whatever it was. Vahamatsunenis, or it caught a cold. Vishaochla hordufni, or it ate some poison. Vishaochla, but it didn't die, obviously, it's still walking around. It ate a little bit of poison. Vishaochla tsayas tanagolim, it ate chicken poo. Oi, sheshasas mayim haroim, it drank bad water. In all of those cases, kshera. That doesn't automatically make it a trefa. So it might be not feeling well, but it's still kosher. Ochla sam hamavis, if it ate poison. So poison, we're going to say this poison is talking about something that's poison for humans. So it's a stronger type of poison than the hardufni we were talking about before. Or she kisha nochash, or she was bitten by a snake. A snake bit the animal. Muteris mishum trefa. It's still not considered a trefa, but asura mishum sakonas nefashis. It's forbidden because it's dangerous to eat because this poison is inside the bloodstream or whatever. So if you eat that meat, you might get some of the poison yourself. Omar Shmuel says, the Gemara Shmuel says, Hilita chiltis trefa. If somebody pushed chiltis into her throat. So chiltis is some kind of a very sharp herb, and it's because it's sharp, it can cause damage into the internal organs. So if she had some chiltis shoved down her throat, she's trefa. My timer the minkevelahula mayona, because it makes a hole. It's going to be a hole in one of the organs. Masi Rav Shizbi, Achuza Saddam, we said in the Mishnah that if it has blood pressure, Ramushchenis, or it's got smoke in the side, Vish Achla Hardufni, or it ate this poison, Vish Achla Tzayestan Agolim, Vishashas Mayim Haroyim. But then, so that was the same as the Mishnah, but then this Bryce is continuing with some other things. Hilito Teo Chiltis Upilpulin. If it was fed these three things, teya, we're going to say it's some kind of a bitter grass, and chilt is this thing we're talking about, which is very sharp, and pilpulin is pepper, also hot peppers, or if achlasam hamavis, or it ate poison, in all of those cases is kishera. So Shmuel just said that if she was given chiltis to eat, is trefa. The Brisa says if she was given chiltis to eat, is kishera. Then the Brisa, just finishing off the Brisa says if a snake bit the animal or was bitten by a kelev shoita, crazy dog who has rabies, is then muteris mishum treifa v'asur mishum sakonas nefashis. So it's not considered a treifa, but it is considered dangerous to eat, and therefore you cannot eat it. But from the so in this Brisa, the Brisa. First of all, the Kasha and Shmuel, Chiltis, Achiltis. Shmuel said that eating Chiltis makes it a trefa, and the Brisa says eating a Chiltis does not make it a trefa. And Kasha, Samamavis, a Samamavis. In the Mishnah, it said a Samamavis is awesome, Mishup Sakonis Nefashis, and in the Brisa, it says Samamavis is kosher altogether. Answer the Gemara. Chiltis achiltis like kasha. There's no contradiction with regard to chiltis. Kan ba'olin, kan ba'kretin. If you're talking about the leaves of the chiltis, or you're talking about the sharp part. So the leaves are not going to kill it, but are not making it a trefa, but the kretin is. Yeah, something could be. Something with a sharp, pointy bit, yeah. And samamavis like kasha, also no contradiction. Hadida, hada adam. If it eats behemoth poison, then it's still kosher. If it ate human poison, then it's sakonis nefashis. Yeah, so the Gemara asks, if we're talking about, in the Mishnah, if the Mishnah is talking about behemoth poison, behema hainu hardufni. What's the difference between hardufni? Hardufni is also poison. So he says, trey gavni samavis. There's two different kinds of poison. You're right, it's the same idea, but there's two different sorts. One's called hardufni, the other one, and the other one is more generic. Then we asked, my teya in the brisa, we had teya chiltis pilplin. So what's teya? Teya, Omar Rabbi Yehuda says, teya, top of the page, is a ikra de marirta, very bitter root of some kind of vegetation, and the root is very bitter. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, hai manda ochel tilsa takli chiltis aliba reikna, someone who eats three shkolim, that means the weight of three coins, of chiltis, aliba reikna, on an empty stomach, mishtalach moshka, your skin will come off. So it's pretty bad for you, because of the because it heats them up. It's very hot. Amar Rav Abba b'didi hava uvda. I had a story. V'achli chad takle chiltis. I only ate one coin's weight of chiltis, and that had such a big effect of me that I loy de yasi b'maya. If I wouldn't have gone and sat in cold water and mishtalach mashchoi, I would have my skin would have fallen off. Because from the hot situation there, and it makes your skin come off. Yeah, we started from there. So we're saying over here that if a person eats, there's this thing called chiltis, which is some kind of a sharp something that grows. Mordechai proposed that it's a cactus. But it's something like that. So if one eats a cactus, it's not very pleasant. It's sharp and it can poke holes in your kishkis.
Okay. We had a thing about that in defense department, but I won't go into it.
Really?
Yeah.
About chiltis?
No, cactus.
About cactus? Oh. Okay. So we just had on the top of the page, we have Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Haimanda Ochal Tilsa Takli Chiltis Alibi Rekna Mishtarach Moshe, someone who eats three coins weight, shekel, coins weight of chiltis on an empty stomach, his skin will fall off because it's so hot. It burns up the body and his skin falls off. As Amar Rabbi Abba said, I had a maisev achli chatzik lechiltis. I only ate one shekel's worth of chiltis, and I was so burning up that iloy the yasi emayi. If I wouldn't have gone and sat in water. In the swimming pool in the spa, mishtalach mashchoi, my skin would have come off, even from one. The kiyamti ba'atzmi, so I fulfilled about myself. Hachachma techayev ba'aleha, wisdom keeps its owner alive, because I could feel myself burning up, so I was smart and I went and sat in the cold water. So that wisdom that I had kept me alive. Well, it kept my skin on anyway. Amar Rav Yosef. You mean if he was smart, he wouldn't have eaten it in the first place? No, because Rabbi Yehuda said if you... Well, I don't know if it's cactus. I don't know if it's cactus. It's chiltis. No one knows the translation. It's sharp. It says it has sharp edges and it pokes holes in your kishkis. Really? Yeah. Okay.
It's a good... Once the thing is off, it's good.
But like mushed up. Not raw cactus?
It's fit to eat. I think once you peel
but you
the,
cook it.
The thing off, I don't know how.
Raw cooked?
No, probably raw.
Raw?
I think so.
I don't know how you do that, but anyway.
I was under 6 years old at the time.
Okay, so you had more fortitude. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that if you eat three shkolim of it, then it's dangerous, then your skin comes off. So he only ate one shekel, so he thought he's okay. But he was obviously more sensitive to it, so that's why he didn't really do anything stupid by eating it in the first place. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should have been okay.
Horseradish.
Okay, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Hai man da ochel shitzri bay. Someone who eats 16 eggs. Varbayim guzi. And 4 peanuts. Walnuts, probably, actually. Veshev butisa de parchi. And 7 seeds from a tzlaf tree. Which is a tzlaf kind of tree. It's mentioned with the brachas quite often. Vishasi revius of the dubsha, and he drinks the revius of honey, and he has all that for breakfast. It's kufas tamuz in the hot season, like today. Aliba reikna on an empty stomach, misaker taya delibi. Then the things that keep his heart in place, the the connecting infrastructure that keeps his heart in place is uprooted. So his heart will, fall out of place. So don't eat all that. Well, 16 eggs, probably got a little bit of cholesterol going on, probably.
No cholesterol problems,
but if you eat 16 eggs, you might discover some. That's it. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, I wouldn't try this one. Hahu Bartavia. Bartavia is a kind of a an antelope. Honey is good for you. So there was a sort of animal of Bartavia, is like an antelope or something. The Osala Beresh Galusa. They have a mifsa karen basraisa. They brought it to the house of the Resh Galusa, the president of the community, and his back legs were amputated. He was an amputee.
His back legs?
The animals, not the Resh Galusa. Yeah, the animal came. They wanted to know if it was kosher or not. The back legs were cut. Is bodke rav b'tzomis hagidin? Rav checked that place where the veins all come together. That's called the junction. That's the word I wanted. The tzomis of the veins, and it was there. So we said, okay, it's all right, even though it's been amputated. So he thought it was kosher. So he wanted to eat it, cooked in a certain way, where it's sort of slightly roasted, but not that much. You put a lot of salt on it, Rashi says, and you just roast it a little bit on coals. But it's like a very, it's kind of rawish. It's like sushi for me. It's kind of raw with a little tiny bit of roasting. Shmuel said to Rav, "Lechayish malini kuri, you're not worried that maybe it was bitten by a snake? Like, you don't know what's going on with this. What happened to its back legs? Aren't you worried about something?" Zomalei, Maita Kanta says, okay, what should I do? So he said, Nesiv Tanura, put it in the Yavin, to Iyu Bodik Nafshe, and it'll check itself, you'll see. It's Oisve, you put it in the Yavin, Nafal Tilchi Tilchi, and clumps of the animal, of the meat, were just falling off, weird. So they realized something was pretty wrong with this animal, and they didn't need it. As Kari Shmuel laid the Rav, Shmuel quoted about Rav, La Yuna La Tzadik Kol Oven, that nothing bad will happen to a tzaddik. That he ended up, he was going to eat it, but he ended up not eating it, so nothing bad could happen to him. Kari Rav laid the Shmuel Kol Roz Lo Anas Lecha, and Rav quoted about Shmuel, the pasuk. It's a pasuk in Daniel actually, but it's just a quote. It says that no secrets are kept away from you. And Shmuel knows all these secrets. He knew how to. He knew that if the animal was poisoned, the pieces would start coming off. And no, it's Shmuel the Amora. So they were both happy with each other. Shmuel was happy that Rav didn't eat the poison, and actually Rav was happy also that he didn't eat the poison. Okay, next Mishnah. Simani behema v'chaya, the signs of a kosher animal. So both a behema and a chaya. A chaya is a non-domesticated animal, like a deer or something. Namru b'toira, minaru minatoira. So we know what it is. Split hooves and chewing the cud. So those signs are clearly in the Torah. Simoni ha'oif, the signs of a kosher bird, lo namru. There isn't anywhere that it says here are the signs of a kosher bird. Aval omru chachamim, but the rabbi said, in the Torah there's only a list of birds, but there's no general simonim, signs, to know which birds are kosher. So the chachamim worked out, or they said, that kol oif ha'deiris, any bird of prey that attacks other birds and animals is a tomei. That's the one that's not kosher. And birds that are vegetarians, they are kosher. Kolso yeshli etzbi yaseira, any bird with an extra finger. I don't know if what birds have is called fingers, but relatively speaking. The zefek, the kurkubone niklof, and it's got, so a bird has different... in his digestive system, he's got a thing called a zefek, where the food sits while it's waiting for action, and the kurkuban is where it gets digested. So those are the two parts of the bird's digestive components. Niklef, and it's got a little membrane that can be peeled off, that is toher. So in all those cases, it is kosher. Rabbi Lazar of Tzadikomer, kol oif achelik esraglov, a bird, when you put them on a wire, you know how birds like to sit on the telephone wires? When they sit on the wire, if he's got two claws on one half and two claws on the other, wait, when he sits there, Tommy, then you know that he's not kosher, because that shows that he's a bird of prey. Because birds of prey, when they attack, that they do two claws on one side and two on the other. So if that's the way he sits, that shows that he's used to preying on other things. And that makes him unkosher. Uvachagovim, okay, so that's birds. Uvachagovim, when it comes to grasshoppers, kol sheyesh le arba raglayim, if it has four legs, arba knafayim and four wings, v'kartzulayim and two extra turbo legs that it uses to jump on. Rashi talks about this in Chumash. When he wants to jump, he's got two extra legs high up near his neck. And when he wants to jump, because grasshoppers, they can do a long jump. That's why they're called grasshoppers. And those are the two strong legs that it jumps on. They're called kartzulayim. So if he's got all of those things, a kanaf of chayfenis ruben, his wings cover most of his body, he's got large wings that cover most of his body, then he is kosher. Those are the signs of a kosher grasshopper. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shmoy Chagov. He also has to be known with the name grasshopper, Chagov. So if it has all those things, but it's called, you know, horse, then it's not kosher. Over dogim, and what about fish? By fish, kol sheyesh l'stapa v'kaskeses, it has to have fins and scales. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shnei Kaskasim Snapi Rechad Echod. It has to have one fin and at least one fin and at least two scales. That's the minimum. Ve'elohen kaskasin. What is the definition of kaskasin akfuim boy? The things that are stuck on him, which is the scales that are on a fish's body. And snapir in aparechben. The fin is the thing that he swims with. That's the snapir. Snapir and kaskesis. Says the Gemara, Braisa, Tana Rabbanon. Elohen simone behemo. Oh, I just wanted to. I had some pictures here. Just a grasshopper. There's a kosher grasshopper. See one like that? Dig in. Okay. And he's got the scales on the fish. Oh, yeah, I think everyone knows what that is. Okay. Tana Rabbanon. Elohen simoni behema. These are the signs of a kosher animal. Kol behema fresh as parsley. It's a chumash if it's got split hooves. And is maligera called behemah shemalas gera, and any animal that chews its cud be a duah shein leshinayim lamaila. So you know it doesn't have any teeth in the upper row if it chews its cud and tahira and it's kosher. So the Gemara is asking a klalahu. It's a rule that if an animal chews its cud, it doesn't have any upper teeth. What about the good old camel, the maligerahu? The camel chews its cud. It's got no teeth. I went outside to look for a camel last night. Couldn't find one, so I just rely on this picture. Camel has on top. One second. Ah, Fred the Gemara, Gomel. Ah, so he says, so and he's not kosher. He answers, Gomel, Nivi Islay. It hasn't got teeth. It's got, I don't know what you translate, fangs. Yeah, two big teeth at the top, one on each side. And they are, so they maybe you wouldn't call them, shinayim, but it's got over here these fang things at the top. So they're not called shinayim for some reason. And therefore the camel is, has the upper teeth, and therefore it ain't no good. Fred de Gemara, Vare Ben Gomel. What about a young camel? It's like a mole, it's like a wisdom teeth. So the young camel doesn't have any. The Nivinami Leslie. Yeah, so it doesn't have any of those. But it's still Tommy. It's still not kosher. Visu, and other questions. Haresh Shofan Varnevis, the rabbit and the hare. The Male Geirahin, they also chew their cud. V'yeshlam Shinayim L'maylo. But they do have teeth above, and they're not kosher. So what are you talking about? V'oyer, and anyway, Shinayim Miksivarasa. What's the teeth got to do with it? It says, if it chews its cud, then you know for sure it has no teeth upstairs, and therefore it's kosher. Who cares whether it has the teeth in the Torah? It says it's chewing the cud, it's kosher. What's the business about the teeth? Why mention the teeth altogether? Ella says, the Gemara, we didn't understand the Braisa. Hachikamar. The Braisa means to say like this, on the Farkert. Kol behem l'sha'en l'shinayim l'maylo. Other way around. If you can't tell, you look at the cow, and you ask him, do you chew your cud? And the cow goes, moo. So you don't know the answer. So you check his teeth. If it hasn't got any upper teeth, But you do a shimalas geira, then you know that it chews its cud. Or mafresh is parsed, and it also has a split feet with a hira. So all you got to do is check the teeth. Yeah, you check the teeth is there's no upper teeth. Everything's good. Freddy Gubara, why do you have to check the teeth? We'll leave the parts they sell. Why can't you check the feet? Check the feet. You can't check the cud. How do you check if an animal's chewing its cud? You can't tell what's going on in the inside there. But the feet, you can look at. Yeah, you can look at the feet and see if it's split. So you should have to check them. And that's the Gemara. Like a guy in Shahayu Parsais of Chatuchas. Let's say his feet were chopped off. Let's say you're walking in the desert and you haven't got your art scroll with you and you haven't got Google. Yeah? Not necessarily in that order. And you're hungry, but you found an animal to eat. And the animal has his feet are cut off, so you can't check if he has split hooves or not. So what do you do then? Check its mouth. If it's got no upper teeth, then you know that it's kosher. Imlav, and if not, it doesn't not have teeth, that means it does, then you know that it is not kosher. Uvarcha yakir gomel, as long as you know what a camel looks like, because the camel is the one that's confusing, because camel does have upper something, teeth, wisdom teeth.
You can't eat camel anyway.
Well, not it's not anyway. It's because but the Torah says you can't eat a gomel, So he says a camel is the exception to the rule. What he's saying, as long as you know what a camel is, right? So the animal that you found doesn't have any teeth above, then it's kosher, right? As long as you can be sure it's not a camel, because a camel doesn't have any teeth above and it's not kosher.
Oh, was a camel riding a year ago?
Did you eat it after? No. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean a camel doesn't have any teeth? Gomel never easily. The camel does have those fangs. So if you're in the desert and you come across your friendly neighborhood camel and you check his mouth, you'll see the teeth, so you won't be in any danger of eating it. Elo vachiyaka ben gomel. You've got to check out the young camel who doesn't have the fangs yet. So as long as you know what he looks like, if you found an animal with no upper teeth, then you know it's kosher. Freddy Gemara, just a second. If a ben gomel is an exception, lava marta ika ben gomel, didn't you say there's an exception to the rule? Is ika nami min achrin the dom of the ben gomel? Maybe there's other exceptions too. How do you know there's no exceptions to this rule? Says the Gemara, loy salka daitach. You shouldn't have in mind, it should not enter your mind that there are other exceptions. The Tani Devei Rabbi Shmuel, the es hagomel, the pasuk says, don't eat a camel. Kimala geiruhu, because it chews its cud, but it doesn't have split hooves. I mean, shalit by lama yedeya, the ruler of the world, that's God. God knows she'ein lechadavar mala geiru v'tomei yela gomel. The only animal that chews its cud and is still not kosher is a camel. Leficha parpei akasub who? Therefore, the Torah says it who. Yeah, so that means that's the only exception. So as long as you know what a gomel looks like, anything else you find that has no upper teeth is kosher. Fine. The Amar Rav Chizda also said, "Hayy mahalach baderech." If he was walking on the road before, he was in the desert, right? Now he's just on the road, but I think on the side, he's going to put us back into the desert over here. Yeah, it has to be in the desert. If you're walking on the road, you go and ask somebody. He's in the desert. He was walking through the desert. Umatza behemah, and he found an animal. Shapir gomel, that his mouth is all mutilated. Yes, it's cut up, so he can't check whether it's got the teeth or not. It's bedik parsesel, so check his feet. In parsesel sedukos, if he's got split hooves, be a duashito, you know it's kosher. And in la be a duashitmei, if it doesn't have split hooves, you know it's not kosher. Ovachayake chazir, as long as you know what a pig looks like, because a pig has split hooves but doesn't chew its cud. So that's the only one that if the feet are split, you can't eat it. Freddy Gemara, one second. Lava Martika Chazir, didn't you say you had just admitted that a pig is an exception to the rule? As if the pig is an exception to the rule, Ika Nami Minach Rina Dom al Chazir, maybe there are other things like a pig. See, it's a beautiful looking pig.
Herod is a very intelligent animal, apparently very friendly ones too.
Yeah, but they're not very hygienic. Yeah, so anyway, as long as you know what a pig looks like, if you found an animal with split hooves, then it ain't a pig, it's kosher. So the Gemara asked, didn't you just say a pig's an exception? Ikanami minach rin the dam of the chazir. There could be other animals that look like a chazir, like a, that are the same deal. And for the Gemara, let's look at daitich. Don't even enter your mind. The Torah, Rebbe Shmuel, ve'es a chazir. The Torah says, don't eat a pig. Kimafris parsahu, because it is splitting its hooves. God knows that the only animal with split hooves that is not kosher is a pig. Therefore the Torah said the word who, it. It is the one with split hooves that doesn't chew its cud, but all other ones do. Third thing, Omar of Chizda, Hoya Mahalif Bamidbar is going in the desert. What happens if the mouth is mutilated and the feet are also missing, so he can't check anything. No hand, no feet, no foot and mouth. Is Baidik Bifsara. So check the flesh. In Mahalach Shasi Ve'erev, if the flesh goes in perpendicular lines. So it's not like all tangled. It's the flesh is in straight lines like that. Then that proves shehita b'yadua shehita hayu that it's kosher. We love, and if not b'yadua shehita it's not kosher. Uvavad sheyakir aroid, as long as he knows what aroid looks like. Aroid's a mule, because that's an exception. Even though its flesh goes like that, it's not kosher. Freddy Gemara, if there's one exception, maybe there's more. Lava Marta Ikaroid, Ikadami Minachrina, the Dhamma Lara, there could be others, is Gemiri Deleka. So you're right, there's no posuk about it, but we have a tradition that we know that there is no other exceptions. Behecha Bodek, where on the body should you check for this meat, for the flesh? Omar Abai, Vitemarachizda, but Kanfaya Ukits, the sides of the tailbone, down here near the backside. See, there's a tail. So check the meat down there, and you'll know it's kosher. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Simone Chaya, the signs of a Chaya, is Elohein Simone Chaya. So the Gemara says, what are the signs of a Chaya? Chaya, b'chal behemah, the Simone. A Chaya is the same as a behemah. Yeah, it's not interchangeable, but they're all, they go together. Both of them are the split hooves and the chewing the cud business. So what do you have to specify Chaya? Chaya and Behemah is the same thing. As Omar Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira said, you have to know what's a Chaya, turn the page, Lahatir Chelba. Because the Chelev, the fats that go, we said it before, the fats that go on the Mizbeach, when the animal's a Korban, if the animal's not a Korban, then you're not allowed to eat those fats anyway. And that applies only to a Behemah, not to a Chaya. So you have to know which one's a Behemah, which one's a Chaya. So means to say, Elohein Simone Chaya Shechelba Mutar. What is the signs of a Chaya where we're going to say that the Chelev is permitted? Kol Sheyeshla Karnayim Utlafayim. If it's got horns and it's got fingernails. Rabdeisa Omar. Rabdeisa says, Yeshla Karnayim, if it has horns, you don't need to check his fingernails. Yeshto Tevafayim, if it has fingernails, Tzarech HaTalas HaKanayim, you still need to check whether it has horns. So horns is the determining factor. V'keresh, I guess it's a unicorn. Afal Pishayin Le'yela Keren Achas, even though it only has one horn, is also Mutter. It doesn't have to have two. One is good enough to make it a Chaya. Fred de Gebara, Klolahu, is that rule you just gave me true? V'harei Eiz, the Yeshto Karnayim Utlafayim, a goat has horns and fingernails, but it's considered a behemah, not a chaya. The chelba is also, and if fats are forbidden. So the Gemara answers, what sort of horns? I'm talking about kruchos be'inon. I'm talking about horns like this? That are, they have rings going around them. Gilded klipa al klipa. No, it's all kosher. The question is, question is only whether it's a chaya or a behema. Yeah? So, it has to, if it has kruchos, if it has them in those ringy thingies, gildy, like peels in layers, one on top of the other, like that, then that's the type of horn we're talking about. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What about an ox? An ox to kruchos, An ox has horns like that, and an ox certainly is a behemoth, not a chaya. Then chel bayosu. So he says, you're right. What I meant was charukos pe'inon. Charukos means it's got a whole bunch of little ridges in it, like that beautiful horn there. So it's not smooth. It's got little indentations. Freda Gemara, hare eis. What about the goat? Goat charukos, he's got indentations in his horns. The chel boy is also. And he says, it's also. So he says, you're right. Mefutzol is binan. To make it be a chaya, it has to have, the horns have to split off like antlers. That makes him a chaya and not a, whatchamacallit, not a behemoth. Freda Gemara, what about a rei tzvi? Well, now we come to a deer. If it needs to have to be a chaya, it needs to have split horns, antlers, a deer ein mefutzolis. A deer, the horns are not split off, the chel by mutter, but we still say it's a chaya and the chelim is mutter. So he says, chadurais pe'inon. It has to have, not split off, but round ringy rings, like so. That's the thing that makes it a chaya. Hilkach, therefore, heichad mefatzla, if it has the antlers, leidina v'leidina. If it has antlers, it's for sure a chaya. You don't need to judge anymore. You don't even need to think about it anymore. Heichad lo mefatzla, if it doesn't have antlers, then ba'inon kruches, chaduris, and charukes, you need one of those. You need one of those other types. So all of those things make it a chaya. V'hu de mivla chekayu. And that, as long as they are very close together, those ridges like that on the goat, we said, yeah, they're very close together. Not if it has one here and one, 5 miles away. So that's what that means. Okay, v'hainu sveika de izakarkas. That was the doubt we had about a karkas goat. It's a certain kind of goat called a karkas. Karkas goat. No picture of him. You got a picture of a carcass goat? Is that a gazelle? Oh, okay. Okay, because the carcass goat, we're not sure if that's considered, because it's called a goat, maybe it's a behemoth, but because it has those horns, maybe it's a chaya. So that's, maybe that's a gazelle. He says that's the one that's not where it's a suffix. We're not sure. Ahi izakarkas the Hava Beresh Galusa. There was one of these izakarkas in the house of the Resh Galusa. The Ocher Mole Tsarim Sana Tarba Mine. They took out a basket of fat from him. Now, if it's a behemoth, the fat's osir. If it's a chaya, the fat's mutter. Is Rav Achai osir? Rav Achai said it's forbidden. Rav Shmuel Bered Rabbi Abo. Ochel Mine. Rav Shmuel Bered Rabbi Abo ate it. Kari Anafshi Mi Pri Pi Ish Tispa Bitnoi. Because I learned that it's mutter, I was zeichet to learn that halacha. My stomach is satisfied because I had a whole bowl of fat. Shalchol mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Hilchas akavasa to Shmuel Bered Rabbi Abo. The halachas like him. V'zaru b'Rabbeinu Achai, but you should still be careful not to insult Rabbi Achai, who said it's forbidden. Shemeir einei goylohu. He is the one who lightens up the eyes of the goylah. V'keresh and a unicorn. Afal pishen li yalei keren achas is mutar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda keresh tavir the be'eloi. The definition of a keresh is called the Tavia de Beiloi. It's an animal that lives in the forest of Beiloi. And Tigris is a Arya de Beiloi. Tigris is a lion that lives in that forest. Omar of Kahana, Tesha Amas Ahava ben Oni La Oni de Arya de Beiloi. That lion's head is so big that there is 9 Amas between his ears. That's a rather large head. Omar of Yosef, Shitzer Amas Ahava Moshe de Tavia de Beiloi. 16 Amas is the length of the Tavya de Beiloi. Amar le Kesar b'Shul b'Chananya, the Caesar said to b'Shul b'Chananya, the Kechem ka'aryeh mosel, your God is compared to a lion. The Chsiv ayeh shag mi lo yira, the lion roars, who will not fear him? My ribusa. So, what's the big deal? Parsha kotolari, a good soldier can kill a lion. So, what's the point of saying your God's like a lion? Lions no great shakes. Is on my lay, so he said to him, "Lavka haya your muscle. It's not like an ordinary lion. Ka'ayah de beiloy muscle. He's like one of those 9-meter lions in there that no one can kill. Amalei, but inu demichazale niel. I want to see one of these lions. And Amalei matzis le matzis chazis. You won't be able to see it. Amalei ibra chazinale. He says, I insist on seeing it. And he was the Caesar, not the king. He tells him, I want to see it. You show it to me. Boy Rachmi, Shabbi Shubin Levi Davend, Isaka Miduchte, and the lion came out of the forest. Kihava Marchik Abba Mea Parsi, when it was still 400 parses away, Nihem Chad Kola, it roared one roar, and Afila Kolma Varta Vishua Deroimi, Apila Kolma Varta, all of the pregnant ladies miscarried from the roar, and Vishua Deroimi, not for the wall of Rome fell down from this roar. When it got 300 parshas away, Niyam Kolachrina, it roared again. Not a Kachiv Vishin de Gavri, and everybody's teeth fell out, upper teeth and lower teeth. V'yaful Nafal Makasayal Aaron, the king fell out of his throne onto the floor. So that's how scary this lion was. Zomalei, so he said to him, the Kaiser said to Rishu Mechadani, "I ask you a favor, boy. Rachmi Alei Lahadaduchtei. Davin that he should go back home. I don't want to see him anymore." Boy, Rachmi Alei, so he davened v'hadle l'asrei, and he went back home. Amalei Kaiser Rishu Mechadani. Then he said to Rishu Mechadani, "Bring the chazal l'kaicha. I want to see your God." Amalei le'matzis chazis le. You can't see God. Amalei Ibra, top of the page. Chazinalei, he says, "I want to see him." Azal ukme l'adei yaimad v'tzkufas Tammuz. He took him and stuck him in the sun on a hot day in Tammuz, 43 degrees. And he told him, Amalei stakelbe, he said, look at the sun. Amalei lematzin, he said, I can't look at the sun on such a hot day, especially. Amalei, yoyim edachar mishamshi, dekayim akamed, kuchbicho, mat lematzino, the sun, which is only one of God's servants. And you're saying it's so powerful that you cannot look at it. Lematzin is takalabe, shechina, like Holshike, and God himself, you think you can look at him? For sure you can't look at him. So that's it. Okay.